Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulk. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob, and you?
I've been well as well, and I think last time we left off, Mickey, we decided that we were going to kind of switch the focus from metals to gases, and we are today are going to be talking about helium. It's a critical gas that I understand is in quite short supply, correct?
Well, that's right, Rob, and it's used for more than balloons and making your voice sound funny.
Well, it sounds to me like you took quite the shot there, Mickey. Let's hope the effect wears off before the show is finished. Good stuff. Yeah, it is indeed used for more than balloons and making people laugh unexpectedly. Let's begin with a history lesson on this, Mickey, because we usually like to kick it off by going back to the beginnings of whether it's a metal or a gas. When was helium first discovered and where?
Well, before we talk about where it was first discovered, let's find out what the hell it is. Helium is a noble or an inert gas. It's number two on the periodic table, so it includes these pretty rare gases like neon and argon and krypton, xenon, and radon, which we've actually talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
No color, no odor, non-toxic. Monoatomic helium-4. So it's actually the second most abundant element in the universe behind hydrogen, which comprises three-quarters of the universe. And then you've got helium at 23% and all the others at 2%. So it's a product of the Big Bang. So
mm-hmm.
And from the get-go in the universe, there's been lots of helium. It is presently being made through nuclear fusion in stars in the sun from hydrogen, but most of the sources in the Earth are from the decay of uranium and thorium. An alpha particle is actually a helium-4 nucleus.
Okay, and I understand, Mickey, that the helium that in fact we use today is really a byproduct of natural gas production. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. It was originally discovered in 1868 through spectral lines in a solar eclipse, but it wasn't isolated until 1898. In 1903, there were big gas discoveries in the Great Plains, specifically in Kansas and the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas, and it can comprise up to 7% of natural gas. So that's where the supply comes from. Helium's very rare in the crust, something on the order of 8 parts per billion. In the atmosphere, more, about 5.2 parts per million. But it's rare on Earth, so the United States is fortunate to have most of the world's reserves.
Okay, it has most of the world's reserves, but you decided that we should talk about helium because you were at an international balloon fiesta in Albuquerque, New Mexico, not too long ago, and what you saw firsthand indicated a much wider problem that is taking place right now, and that there is a shortage of helium, isn't there?
Well, there's an artificial shortage that is being created by the U.S. government. We can talk about that in a little bit, but before we do that, I want to talk about really what it's used for. It's got some very unique properties. It's a gas till 1 degree above absolute zero, so at which time it turns into a liquid and it's a superconductor.
Mm-hmm.
So its main use now is in cryogenics or very cold applications, used mainly to supercool magnets for MRIs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
About 22%. Then there's it's used as a pressure and a purge gas. It's used in to shield for arc, specifically aluminum and tungsten arc welding. Used as an inert gas to grow silicon wafers for semiconductors. And then significant amount is used for for government research. Also uses its coolant and rocket fuel, and of course known most generally for its use in party balloons and gas balloons.
Mm-hmm.
The price has skyrocketed, and there's a big shortage, so the gas balloon race, which is a very specific thing, they ran a hydrogen balloon race this year versus a helium balloon, and with about half the balloons, because you got to have a very specific skin for flying a hydrogen balloon,
mm-hmm.
because hydrogen's flammable and can be explosive, a la the Hindenburg in 1937.
Yeah. Okay, now we're talking about the shortage of helium today, and you had mentioned that it's more or less a manufactured shortage. U.S. government, give us a little bit of history there. How did this shortage actually transpire, and why do we have a shortage today?
It was, as we said, discovered in 1903 through these gas fields in Kansas and the panhandles of the Great Plains. In World War One, it was mainly used for reconnaissance balloons by the military,
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. military also set up some experimental plants, built some airships, and by 1925, the U.S. controlled the world's helium market, so they set up a national helium reserve in a partially depleted gas field in a salt dome near Amarillo, Texas. By 1937, because the Nazis in Germany was embargoed. Helium was critical for the Manhattan Project mass spec. And then in 1960, the government really got involved, and they built plants and a pipeline to move this helium
mm-hmm.
from the gas fields of Kansas and the Panhandle to Amarillo, Texas. The BLM was designated the administrator of this, so they incurred a debt of something about $1.5 billion for collection, for the infrastructure and the collection and the storage. So in 1996, Billery decided that we need to sell off our reserves and pay back the debt to the BLM.
Mm-hmm.
So they put in artificial price controls, and what's happened is now with the and started selling off the reserves. So what's happened is the price of natural gas has gone down, the cost of extraction, because the cost of oil, very energy intensive process, has gone up. So there's no incentive for private industry to produce, drill, explore, extract helium right now because of these low government prices.
Right.
So as a result, there's been an temporary artificial shortage created, and prices have skyrocketed. Today I paid $23 for my little tank of helium and enough to fill 30 party balloons. And so
wow.
That price is about triple what it was last year.
And really, I guess we don't really see this shortage problem being alleviated in any way until there's some movement in natural gas prices, right, to spur on extra production of natural gas. Is that a fair assumption as well?
Well, I think that's partially fair, but if it was a free market price, a supply-demand equation would be met, and there really is no world shortage. The world has plenty of helium, at least for the next 5 years. The United States still controls almost 80% of the world's supply and reserves, and so it's not like we're running out of helium. It's just the government with these private sales. Here's the way it really happens. So the private companies sell grade A helium to the feds. And this is offset by them purchasing crude helium from the BLM.
Mm.
So there's been a bill introduced in Congress by Senator Bingaman of New Mexico to reduce this sell-off of the strategic reserve, which is now scheduled to be gone by 2015, to extend that, to get the government out of the business and to let free markets rule the price without the BLM creating an artificial price every year.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's an election year. This bill was introduced in Congress or in the Senate in April, and there's been no action, and Senator Bingaman will be retired as of January 20th.
And without the private enterprise, the private sector is stepping up to the plate. One wonders if this problem will just kind of drag on for a while then.
Well, it really could. It's an artificial shortage mm-hmm. created by government getting involved. You know, the old adage, I'm from the government and I'm here to hurt. So that's really yeah. my opinion on it.
Okay. Good way to wrap this one up, I guess, Mickey. We'll do it all over again in a couple of weeks' time. You want to stick in the gassy area of things?
My original idea, Rob, was that we would work our way down these noble gases, but there has been a new buzz created by a Vancouver company about fluorspar, and it's much the same story that was promulgated with rare earths, mm-hmm. graphite, and lithium. So I think I'd like to talk about fluorine next. And the mineral, of course, is fluorspar, and it has wide applications in industrial processes.
Okay, sounds good. Mickey, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.